Welcome back, my friends. This is Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this is This Week in Geeks Future Imperfect, brought to you by GamerGrub.com, but also our good friends over at Starfleet, which you can find over at www.sfi.org, the world's largest Star Trek fan club. But I'm not alone on this intrepid voyage through the stars. I am joined with the co-creator of the GeekCast Radio Network,
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And guys, we are back here on Future Imperfect, and this week we are talking about the Star Trek toys. That's right, going all the way from the Megos and everything in between, and even touching on some of the cooler stuff, like some of the prop replicas, which have been offered over the years. And, well, as we like to start off every show, we got some news. We did receive quite a number of entries into our Klingon contest. That's right, we are giving away a copy of Klingon Monopoly. They only made 1,701 of these things. And we want to give one to you, along with a copy of the latest Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-ray. Now, this contest is open to residents of North America only, simply because shipping outside of this country is, well, a bitch, and the DVD's Region 1 anyway. So for you to enter this contest, I want you to send your best Klingon war cry. We're going to extend this for one more episode, because I want more entries, because we got a bunch of really cool ones. So send that to feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Klingon contest, with your best one paragraph, no more, Klingon-inspired war cry. I will do my best to get someone to read it in Klingon, and then we will play that on the show. So, in this episode, like I said, we're going to talk about the Star Trek toys. We're going to have a lot of fun doing that, simply because me and Steve are both toy collectors. He does Transformers, I do everything else, and I'm looking forward to talking about this, because I actually collected a fair number of these when I was a kid, kicking myself in the nuts that I didn't keep a lot of these toys, but luckily, the memory's good, and the internet is a wonderful tool for research. But speaking of research, we actually have to hit one of our new elements in the show. As you heard last time, we checked up on the LCARS computer network and see what we could pull from the Starfleet databases. We're going to do the same again, and then next time, we're going to bring up another segment called From the Replicator, and you'll hear that beginning next show. But for now, let's check the LCAR computer core and see what comes up.
This computer terminal provides full access to the LCAR's computer net. It can be operated both by voice and keypad commands.
Initiating update.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of LCARS. I'm Steve Megatron Phillips, and today I'll be talking about some very cool items. More specifically, I'll be talking about the awesome Star Trek playsets. Not to dismiss the toys by other lines, I'm primarily going to be focusing on the Playmates line. There were 8 primary sets in the early to late Playmates line that allowed the 4.5-inch figures to be used. The most notable was the USS Enterprise D Bridge. That was by far my favorite of all of these playsets. It featured fall-apart pieces, slide-out station chairs, and not, last but not least, sound effects. The view screen was epically cool when lit up, and you could see phaser fire upon it, and it just, the details on this thing were epically cool. The sounds included were for the view screen, phasers, tractor beam, photon torpedoes, hailing frequencies, the computer, the warp drive, and the most epic of them all, Red Alert. This particular playset allowed for up to 6 figures, Ops, Con, Command, and Aft stations, tactical standing, of course, with working tactical console. I love the detail on that. The whole bridge was, it was one of the coolest things to have for a kid into Star Trek and wanting to have a playset. This, I could not recommend anything better. I wish I still had it. I'm only going to cover 2 more areas in this edition of LCARS, which also pertain to the Enterprise D. In addition to having the bridge as a child, I also had the transporter room, which was also really cool. It featured beaming sounds with a light that rendered the figures invisible with a half-silvered mirror and use of light. It could easily fit several figures on the pad and a technician running the console. Finally, I'd like to bring up a toy that unfortunately, I didn't get a release of this, but it should have been out in the original TNG line, I feel, anyhow. But it came out for the first TNG film, so, you know, better late than never for the Enterprise-D, that is. This playset being engineering. Although I did not have it, like I said before, I think this is fairly cool. It featured several consoles and a view into the actual warp core, which, who wouldn't want to see the warp core? I mean, that could have been such a cool tactic to play with, you know, earlier on with the bridge and everything else. In any case, this set featured a full-down engineering console, several sound bites, including a power-up, emergency warning, warp core breach sounds, and the pulsating warp core, which also could be seen with the light-up core. So, with that, I think that this draws this edition of Elkhurst to a close. So with that, I send it back to the show.
Please confirm deactivation request. Deactivation complete. Now disconnected from this terminal.
Welcome back to Future Imperfect. Another great review done by me and the Elkar system. Yeah, we're going to get into some awesome talk on the greatness of the Star Trek toys today.
Absolutely. Now, I've been collecting the Star Trek toys. I started with the Playmates series, and I didn't even know there was a series previous to this, which is the Mego figures. But we'll talk about those as the show goes on. My first one was a Borg drone. I think it was the shuttlecraft, the Enterprise D, and then the next Christmas I got the Romulan Warbird and the Klingon attack cruiser.
Yeah, definitely some awesome ones in there.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of Playmates. Now, Playmates is a name you probably recognize from the toy world simply because they've had so many great franchises pass
through. Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's the one they're probably their most famous for. But it's weird that they actually did get the license back for Star Trek in 2009 when the latest series came out. And I actually have a good chunk of that series kicking around my office. I actually have the Enterprise Bridge sitting behind me. And part of those figures, they also got collectible pieces of the bridge, which you could collect and build. I think it was the transporter room or something. Maybe it was the transporter room I have. I'm not sure.
I think it was the transporter room that they had pieces of that you could build.
Yeah, which I like how companies do that, because Marvel Legends was very successful doing that with the buildable figures. I've got the buildable Apocalypse and the Sentinel. But it means you have to buy everything. But hey, that's not so bad.
And Trek did this a while back, too, because they had movie figures that were slightly higher detail than the typical Playmates figures, and they allowed you to build V'ger at one point.
Really? I was totally unaware of this.
Yes, you had to buy all of these specific figures. They had the motion picture Kirk, Spock, and then they had, for instance, you'd buy like Khan, and you'd buy a couple other figures, and you'd get the rest of V'ger.
Now, let's go back through some of the histories of these toys. Now, going all the way back to the original series, they had basically G.I. Joes of these toys, and they were from the Mego series. Mego, they were, I guess the best way it would be call them is kind of like, if dolls were cool for boys, would be the most accurate way I can describe them anyway. And, I think they were notable because they had real cloth uniforms. And I'd say the likenesses were okay, but they had the posability of early Barbie dolls. Probably a little bit better than them because they did have actual joints and their hands could move. Unlike Barbie, who I think had a straight arm for quite some time. I mean, like, she could move her arm up and down, but not bend at the wrist. I just realized I know a little too much about this. but I know Mego mostly from Toy Fairs magazine, where they had Mego Theater. And they'd put the toys in compromising positions, like the Hulk fighting Spider-Man. And hilarity usually ensued. Now, the Mego stuff, I never have actually got into. But while I was doing kind of research for the show, they have done quite a cool job on doing these, because in the original series, there was Captain Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Scotty, Uhura, and the Klingon. And the Klingon I actually want to bring to attention simply because it's incredibly well detailed for the toys of the era. I mean, even the G.I. Joes, I don't think, looked this good. And it would be funny that the Klingon toy would eventually be kitbashed into the Gorn, which the Gorn, if you remember from Star Trek, was the creature Kirk fought on the planet and shot out his heart with diamonds. Famous episode, we've all seen it parodied at some point. And it was neat, though, just because Mego built the Gorn from kitbash parts, the Klingon body being most of that, which is kind of, and also had a Klingon uniform, which it's funny, I think the Klingon is one of the easier to find Mego's figures of the era, but it seems like most of these figures go between anywhere between 100 and 150 bucks, depending whether you want a loose sample or one in the box. But I know, Steve, you want to talk about play sets, and Mego pretty much set the precedent for this.
Yeah, I know that they had, like, the transporter room, the bridge. They had specific sets for different scenarios. I'm sorry to say I don't know too much about the Mego sets. I do know what I have seen as far as the Toy Fair magazines and a couple of things as the internet was young.
There was one playset, and I just found out about this while I was doing research for the show, and it was called Mission to Gamma 4. And it very much reminds me of an early Castle Grayskull sort of meets Snake Mountain. And what I mean by that is it's a huge playset. I mean, this thing is, I don't know, I'd guess about a 2 feet tall, if not taller, comes with these little mini alien figures, and the eyes light up on this creature. Evidently, it's pretty hard to find, too. Some of the other playsets you would find were the classic transporter room, and this is notable because you could put your Mego figures inside of it, and you could spin them so they would disappear in this transporter effect. In just reality, you were hiding them in the other side of the box, but you would see the transporter effect, which was kind of cool. Which evidently, there was a version of the transporter room which would be later used for a Doctor Who toy based on the TARDIS, which I think is kind of neat there. But the one thing that Mego did right, and this is pretty much set, I'd say, the mold in terms of what the toys could do and functionality was built into it, was the bridge playset. And the bridge playset is important to note because it's also a carrying case. And the only other example I can find of anything like this, at least to my memory, is the Star Wars Death Star set, which was also a carrying case. There's also the Darth Vader head for the Return of the Jedi back in 1983, and there was also one that was developed later for Power of the Force, and then there was the one that you could buy at San Diego Comic-Con, and I think that ran like $100, and I think that was last year or the year before last.
I believe they also had a Millennium Falcon that could...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, too.
I think my stepdad has that.
Oh, lucky bugger.
Yes.
But yeah, it's weird, though, in the fact that this playset by Mego, they made entirely too many. So finding a mint copy of this, even in the box, is relatively easy. I'm almost tempted to track one down myself. I'd like to get this because it's a nice-looking display piece. I mean, it has the bridge console, you got Kirk's chair, you got a computer console behind him. I mean, it's not accurate to the show at all, but it does look kind of cool, though. There's even, like, a transporter room off to the side. If you've seen the movie Trekkies, there's one point where Denise Richards enters one of the fans' rooms, and you see it behind him, and she starts fiddling with the dolls, which kind of evolves into some of the other Trek toys of the era. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm interested in. There's this thing that I love, and it's a piece of Spock's equipment, and it's the tricorder. And the tricorder was important to note because it's one of the really cool role play toys that existed from that era. And the neat thing about it was actually a working tape recorder. and it actually had 30 minutes of what's the episode called? The Menagerie on it.
And it that's cool.
Yeah, and it also had the other side of the tape was like space sounds and other weird shit. But it's actually a functioning tape recorder. Finding copies of this now is a little bit hard, but there was also a version that was based upon the 1960s Batman, which had come out pretty much using the same tech in the same mold. Now, supposedly, it's unknown if they're actually produced, and this would have come out in around 1977. Now, there's a pretty cool ad that that the Mega Group had, and I don't know whether this was meant to be an internal ad or whether this was featured in the back of comic books, but there's one where it's called America's Favorite Back-to-School Outfit, and you see this kid, he's got the tricorder, he's got another scanning device on his wrist, he's got the communicator in his left hand, and the phaser in the right. And I think that's pretty cool, the fact that they did have role-play toys like this. Now, looking at the phaser, I'm pretty sure a friend of mine when I was a kid, my friend Wayne, the guy that got me in the Star Trek when I was a kid, actually had this, and I think we actually screwed around with this. And what it was kind of like the precursor to laser tag, as the website describes this thing. And it's neat just because the original Star Trek phasers looked, I always thought they looked kind of stupid. Because they're just, I don't know, they're basically guns. But then again, when you look at TNG, it's a Braun Mixmaster. So I guess I really can't complain too much about that. And then they also had communicators, which are basically walkie-talkies. And they even did ones based upon the Star Trek motion picture, which were the wrist communicators. Honestly, Dick Tracy had a smaller wrist communicator than Star Trek. And that just seems wrong to me. But then again, I guess they're supposed to be communicating from the Earth to the planet, so I suppose I can let a little bit of miniaturization fly on by. So moving into the motion picture era of toys, some of these, there were a lot of 12-inch figures, and looking at them, the one that weirds me out the most, now Steve, have you seen the Mr. Spock one?
The Mego figures?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
He looks like he's dressed in drag. Just, Spock has very pronounced lipstick. And there's no other way to describe it, too. And it's weird. If you are familiar with DC's Wonder Girl, there's a character, and she has this very unique outfit. And they recycle it-ish into the Star Trek Lila figure, and I can't remember what race she is, but evidently their race is big on sex and pleasure, and I don't know. See, it sounds a lot more interesting in the Star Trek role-playing game than she ever was in the motion picture, which is arguably one of the worst in the series. If you want a full review, go check out thatguyoutheglasses.com and check out the Nostalgia Critic's review of that. Terrible looking. But two notable figures from the line is they have a fantastic new Klingon. And this is the first time we saw the reintroduced Klingons, because in the motion picture, we see V'ger kick the crap out of like a Klingon bird of prey. But you see them in the full battle armor, and they've got the ridges and crap in their face, and they look like Klingons. They also have another one. They produced a 12-inch version of Decker, who looks like he's wearing Starfleet pajamas. And there's another one, there's a 12-inch Octurian, and he looks like his face is melting. It's really kind of weird. Now, it's strange. And then, finally, we're getting into where you get to see a lot of toy companies do a lot of copycat stuff. Now, Star Wars had introduced the 3 1/4-inch figures for when they did their stuff in the early bird of 1977. So when Mego said, hey, we need something to compete with this, so they shrunk the Star Trek toys down to the 3/4-inch. And I'd say they're comparable in quality to the Star Trek, Star Wars figures, because they have an overly pronounced legs. Like, they can bend their arms, or they can move their arms up and down, they can move their legs up and down. Their heads presumably side to side. And they look like Star Wars figures, for lack of a better term. They also have their version of shelf warmers back in the day. Evidently, the Lila figure is one of the most common ones, and evidently she was on store shelves up until the mid-80s, so I've heard. Now, the longest I've ever seen a toy sit on a shelf was about 5 years.
Wow. Which,
yeah, blows my mind. The fact that the toy sat there on one peg for 5 years. But I've never seen these toys for sale. But then again, when you think about it, Star Trek The Motion Picture came out in 1981. I was born in 81. So, or was Motion Picture 80?
No, I don't think it was 80.
Okay. Either way. I just never saw these things at retail. There's also exclusives to JCPenney, which you could pick up. And continuing on with their tradition of doing the bridges, they also had a new Star Trek The Motion Picture bridge come out. It's less impressive than the Mego version, I think, but the 3/4-inch figures can actually fit in it. Now, there was rumors that there's a Vulcan shuttle which can attach to the bridge, and there was rumors that it even came out here in Canada, but according to this website, no samples have ever quite shown up. The carding for a lot of these figures, very reminiscent of Star Wars carding, sit on the little backings, and they just have a picture, big picture of the Enterprise, Star Trek, and the pictures of the characters who would feature be featured on them, and they just had the little plastic bubble for where the figure was. I've never seen these in the wild. Like I said, I don't even think I've actually ever seen one with my own eyes, period. I didn't even know there was a 3/4-inch line. Now, there were also model ships based upon the Enterprise, and this was definitely released at Grand Toys in Canada. And Grand Toys, don't let the name fool you, because it was an office supply store, which is, or maybe it was called Grand In Toy. I don't know. Regardless, that's the version I remember. But they did have a pretty kick-ass version of the Enterprise A. They had a Klingon bird of prey. I think that's it. It looks goofy. There was also the Vulcan shuttle they had too, and like I said, it's kind of neat to be able to look back on these. So now that I've covered a lot of the 80s stuff, I only want to hit one more thing for hopefully Steve will talk, because I feel like I've been talking here for 20 minutes. One of the things that happens in toys, and more specifically with Mego stuff and anything almost 3/4-inch, inevitably there are knockoffs. And there's one knockoff I would love to find, and it comes from Lincoln International. His name is Mr. Rock, and he is basically Spock with Burnout here, with a Barbie pink phone and a flare gun. And it looks so, he even has stuff on his little tunic that looks like the Starfleet insignia. One looks like the Romulan Empire. It looks ridiculous. And it's weird, though. It seems like Mexico was a place to find these toys, too, because there was, because they got a lot of the old parts for the Planet of the Apes and Forgotten Superhero toys, they just started kitbashing stuff. And evidently, they're pretty weird looking. I mean, I'm looking right now at a Kirk dressed in a Planet of the Apes uniform.
So that, wow.
Yeah, that's a little strange. And I've seen some pretty weird crap out there, too. I mean, this is one great toy thing. I love Chinese knockoff toys for this very reason. Superhero Power Team. This is a toy playset you can buy here in Canada for $10 in Chinatown in Toronto. It contains Donatello from the Ninja Turtles, the Red Power Ranger, Buzz Lightyear, Woody, and a dinosaur. No attempt to hide what these characters are from, but Superhero Power Team will come and save your ass for $9.99. I'm putting my money on the friggin' dinosaur. I just think that's weird. So moving on, Star Trek toys would go a little bit quiet between the movie years, which arguably
That's typical of any franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been weird, though. I mean, I would love to know. Like, I honestly don't know. At least in the research I did for preparing for this show, I never saw anything on Wrath of Khan, and I never saw anything for Search of Spock. So if I'm wrong, guys, feedback at thisweekingeek.net, call me something in Klingon, and I'm pretty sure I'll be very sorry and be begging for your forgiveness to please keep listening to our show. But I never saw anything for those movies. I mean, I would love to get a Battle Damage Reliant or something like that if it exists in the 3/4-inch scale. But I remember when Playmates got the rights to do the Star Trek The Next Generation toys. And I know, Steve, you can probably talk about these a little bit more. So take it away!
Yeah, actually, and going back to a quick note about the motion picture, it came out in 79.
Damn it!
The time came out in 82.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I just looked at my shelf. I have the films. But, yes, I love the films. I love the show, too. Just can't afford it. That's what Netflix is for. But, yes, as for the Playmates line, which launched in fall of 92... And it started out with the Star Trek The Next Generation figures.
And it's weird they'd launch a show so late, a line of toys so late, considering the show...
It was 5 years in.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. And they'd have a lot of material to draw from. And the Playmates line picked some really odd characters to do. I remember there's... I don't know the name of the episode, but it's the episode where Picard gets stranded on the planet with... the guy who speaks in metaphors. And he's like, when the walls fell. You know what I'm talking about, right? That guy.
I believe so.
Yeah, he got an action figure for whatever reason. And then Worf's Klingon girlfriend.
Kaler,
yeah. She got an action figure. And I just don't know why.
Well, to be fair, she was in a couple episodes. So I can kind of see that to some extent. But you had, like, for instance, the Geordi that turned into the energy being. You had, for instance, the two time travelers that Picard talked to from the future.
Yeah. And
I mean, there were a lot of goofy characters that, honestly, when I owned them, I really didn't care.
I just always found it kind of weird that they'd pick such obscure characters. But if I've learned anything about Star Trek fandom, as I'm rediscovering my inner Trekkie, pretty sure I'm pissing somebody off by saying that, it's the fact that we will buy anything. We love to collect crap. And the Star Trek The Next Generation line had so many variations in it. I remember while watching Trekkies, actually, the character, or not the character, that kid whose name escapes me, Kyle, I think his name was, said, well, they only made 3,000 of this. And I remember looking at the bottom of their feet, and they'd have a little production number on some of them. But I also remember the posability on these things being halfway between being really good because they had not quite ball joints, but these weird peg-like joints. So their arms could actually move, but their hands were always bent, and they could hold a phaser. And I always remember the phasers looking really stupid. Because yeah, they had the energy beam.
Yeah, they were pretty stupid. I mean, well, I think it was just the Type 1 early seasons phasers that were like that. I don't know. I can't remember for sure because I don't have any of the figures left anymore. But I think that that's how they were. But no. Now that I think about it, all of them were like that.
Yeah, and they were always solid colors. So you'd always have, like, a purple tricorder or a red tricorder.
Yeah, I always found that kind of weird. I mean, and then some of them came with dilithium crystals, all different colors.
Yeah, I always found that really kind of strange, though. And I remember every time I had a Geordi, guaranteed I'd lose his visor.
I never had that problem.
Well, see, they were glued on. But it's me. I like to mess with things. And
you
I
wanted to see his blind eyes on the show.
I did want to see that. I want Mr. Reading Rainbow to be accurate. So I would, play with that. But there were also different versions that had the different uniforms throughout the years, which would be, which I always thought was kind of nice. They did evolve the uniform from the spandex to the ones you'd see through seasons, I think, 3 through 7.
Yeah, and then you had some occasional different ones, like their dress uniforms or Picard's one where it's divided in the middle and you see the gray undershirt. So, I mean, I had all of those, like all of the different variations, including, you know, when they became Romulans temporarily for unification.
I also remember they had versions of Data where his wrist would open up and you'd see his machine underlings, and
that was in his back too.
I don't remember that one. I think I may have that one. It's probably in storage right now. But one of the things that I remember specifically from the Playmates line, I wasn't so much into the figures. Like I said, I did have a shit ton of them, but I was into the ships. And I remember when my parents bought me the Enterprise D, and my friend Liam this year for my birthday gave me all the original ships that he could find. He got me the Enterprise D, which is in remarkable shape, a Romulan Warbird, the Klingon attack cruiser, and I got this from a guy this past summer. I got the shuttlecraft again, and I got Wesley Crusher, aka Space Nerd, and I put Will Wheaton piloting my shuttlecraft. He sits next to the Turtle Van, the Sentinel, and the limited edition statue from Infamous 2. But nice. Still, it's pretty cool. Just the fact that this thing could roll, it could make sounds. That's the thing I loved about ships, is that they made sounds and they lit up. And I remember just sitting in my basement playing with these things back in 92. I must have been in grade 7 or 8. I didn't care. I was a nerd. And I'd sit there and fire my photon torpedoes. But I always thought the photon torpedo sound was actually the phasers. And the phaser sound was the photon torpedoes. Because I assumed the big pew was like... It like the photon torpedo like streaking towards something like a missile. So I was clearly
there's
stupid.
No space and sound, or sound and space.
Yeah, exactly. I'm retarded and watched too much Robotech when I was a kid. But yeah, so I used to get that mixed up. And then I go on later to find out they made the Klingon Bird of Prey, like the really cool looking one.
For generations.
Yeah, they also made the Borg Cube. I've never seen this thing with my eyes, like in real life, and I would love to find one. I don't want to pay eBay prices, though, to be fair.
No.
But
no,
go ahead, Steve.
Oh, no, I was going to say, as far as, like, the ship line is concerned, I love those things. I had the classic Enterprise, I had the Enterprise D, I had the fighter Klingon starship, I had all the shuttlecrafts, the runabout, the classic 1701 shuttlecraft, the Enterprise D shuttlecraft. I mean, those things were just awesome. I love those. And I had the Enterprise E, I believe, too, from the Playmates line, which was actually one of the worst ships I had of their line.
Really? Why?
Just because the detail on it was horrible compared to what Art Asylum comes out with later. I mean, it's... The Enterprise D, I did not feel gypped on that, and including the Enterprise D that was from All Good Things, where it transformed.
Oh yeah,
I loved that ship. That was one of my favorites to play with. But I was never fully satisfied with the Enterprise E. I just felt it was too blocky.
So you're telling me that they had the one that transformed. Was it the one with the three? Warp nacelles?
Three nacelles.
Get the fuck out. Really?
Yes. That one was cool. It transformed to the three nacelles, and it was smaller scale, not electronic, but it was cool as hell. You could pull out all the gear from the All Good Things and make it that ship.
That's so cool. I really wish I had that.
The phaser cannon on the underside always had a hard time staying on. Like, it would fold out of the saucer, but, I mean, it would have a hard time clipping on to the, just above the deflector dish.
Oh, man, still, that's cool as hell.
I love that toy. But, I mean, I can honestly see where you love the ships. That definitely was one of my main favorites of that line.
I mean, two of the ships I've always wanted to own, and I've seriously considered looking into buying them when I come into some money later on this year, is there was a Defiant, which I think looks incredible. I've always wanted the Runabout that you talked about. Now that I have a respect for DS9, we'll talk about that in a different show, why I didn't like DS9 for a number of years, clearly because I'm stupid. But
me too.
There's also this one. This would be my crown jewel, if I can find it. Voyager. But evidently, Voyager was produced in such low numbers that the prices on eBay and through collector sites and even through conventions is insane. Like, you're going to pay well over $150.
Well, part of the problem was around the time Voyager was on, I believe it started in 97.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but I believe it started in 97. Playmates only had the Star Trek line until 99 before they lost it.
And I guess that's why, just because they didn't have the line for that long. So I guess, you know, interest was starting to wane in the show. I mean, I want to say Voyager may have started as early as 95. Yeah, I think it was 95.
Yep, figures arrived in 95 for Voyager. And DS9, I believe, started in 93.
Yeah, because it was still running concurrent with Enterprise, or with...
Oh, no, my bad. 94 is when it started.
Yeah, because they were still running with the Next Generation, because there was a couple crossover episodes with where they Riker went to DS9. Q. Well, not even just that. There's one version where Data had to team up with Dr. Bashir to solve a problem, and I think that was in Season 6. So I think DS9 was 92, actually.
DS9 debuted in 94.
Okay, but I just remember reading about that. So I don't know. Like I said, not 100%, because simply I haven't seen Star Trek: The Next Generation in years. I haven't seen the entire run of Season 6. I've seen, you know, it's weird. I've seen Seasons 1, 2, 3, and then 7. Which is, yeah, so the series started in 93, so yeah, I guess it would make sense for them to cross over, because Season 7 was 94 for TNG. It's getting away from me. Let's reel back in. So you would get toys during the movie years, and I think they were all of a little higher quality. They were also a little bit bigger, because the Playmates toys, I'd say they're kind of in scale with the 3/4-inch figures, probably just a little bit bigger. And there were ships for them too. I know there was a Borg Sphere. There was the Enterprise E, as we talked about. There was the Phoenix, which was the warp capable ship. And I can't think of anything else that was really memorable about the line, other than all the uniforms changed. And any toys that came after that that weren't Voyager were in the new updated things. I'm pretty sure I've seen I'm pretty sure I've seen, like, an Ezri Dax figure. I'm pretty sure. But let me just check that to be sure, because I know the Playmates line. Because they were doing stuff as late as 98 with this.
And as far as the film franchise, the Generations figures were in perfect scale, the 4.5-inch line. Of all the other Playmates figures, it's First Contact that debuted the larger sized figures.
Mm-hmm. I remember a number of 12-inch figures from this line. I remember seeing them in stores, but I don't remember anybody buying them, which is kind of unfortunate. Trying to think of what else just to mention about this. Because there was that's right, the figures were 5-inch, then there was the 9-inch, and then there was the 12-inch figures for those lines. Moving on, there was also, they did a line of stuff for Enterprise, which sadly I really can't even talk about, because I've never seen them. I've never had them. I've only seen pictures online. However, I will say, though, that the ship does look pretty cool. The Enterprise NX-01. They also had a couple of role play accessories, which was the phase pistol and the communicator. Now, I did forget to talk about one thing, and with the Playmates line, extensive role-playing stuff.
Oh, yes. I own everything.
Yep. The only one I didn't have was the medical tricorder.
I had the medical tricorder. I had all the original series stuff. I still have my communicator to this day. It's broken, but I have it. I had all the movie toys as they came out. The TNG, I had all of them up to a point. So
I had the communicator badge, the Type 1 phaser, the Type 2 phaser, tricorder. I had mostly all TNG stuff. That was sort of my specialty. I actually have my Type 2 phaser sitting on a desk around here. And that's, I guess, I would actually credit the Star Trek roleplay accessories with getting to be, for getting me into my love of prop replicas, which we're actually going to talk about on the show. I actually have a guest we're going to talk to in probably about a week or two about Star Trek prop replicas, because he actually makes them and has made them for several Star Trek fan films. I've just always been a big fan. I would have loved to have gotten a phaser rifle toy. I don't think one has ever been produced. I know you can buy a prop replica if you got about $1,200. Totally worth it, by the way. But looking at the Enterprise stuff, I just never saw it on shelves, at least where I lived here in Canada. I've only ever seen it offered through like Diamond Select, through like comic book stores, basically. And I think after Star Trek, the movies had kind of petered out before Nemesis, I didn't see very many toys for pretty much anything, really. I mean, I remember the First Contact stuff. I remember nothing for Insurrection, not one toy on one shelf.
Pretty much bombed.
Well, the movie sucks anyway.
Oh yeah, it's just a notch above Final Frontier.
Yeah, I mean, at least when God wants a starship, it's at least entertaining somewhat. But yeah, it's just I don't remember anything. But evidently, they're dressed in real cloth clothing, which I guess goes back to the Mega or the Mego stuff. Still, who gives a crap? The stuff for Nemesis 2002, I vaguely remember seeing these on shelves, but not a whole lot. Because I remember there was I just don't remember it. But I don't know. I mean, I think the next big push for stuff came with the Playmates 2009 stuff. Now, there was stuff from Art Asylum in there, which is more high-end type stuff that you might find. There was also a series based upon assimilated species. And I remember my friend Steve Saylor had a Hirogen from Voyager as a Borg. And these things were like 9-inch. I think they're either done by Art Asylum or McFarlane. I'm pretty sure it was Art Asylum. They were very, very, very stylized. But they looked pretty friggin' cool, actually. One of the other people I kind of want to talk about, just very briefly, because it's not so much a toy, but they did get the license to it. There was a company called Master Replicas, and they had the license from Lucasfilm to do the FX line of lightsabers. But they also produced a number of Star Trek things. I remember they did a phaser. They did the tricorder. And they're one of the cooler companies out there that could do really neat things with lights. I remember, I think they even had a studio scale Enterprise. And there's one available right now. I can't remember the name of the company. But if you want an Enterprise that lights up, hope you got $5,000. Because it sits in your house. They'll even customize battle damage for you, which is pretty impressive. But that's more high-end prop replica and collectors. We'll talk about that in a future show. But lastly, talking about the Playmate stuff, 2009, they were smaller than the other toys, and I wouldn't call them inferior quality, but their accessories were so small. And I felt they would get lost really, really, really easy. In fact, I can't remember the amount of phasers that I've lost getting these toys out. But they did come in several different scales. The one that I remember, there was one, I think these were the 9-inch figures, or maybe they were 7-inch, I don't know. They had this weird rubber for their tunics. And I just remember because the Starfleet uniforms in the 2009 movies look textured differently. They look like scale, I guess would be the only way to really describe it. When you touch these figures, they have the same scaling to it. It's really, really weird. But they produced ships there. They had more role play accessories. and the roleplay accessories talked. I remember the communicator was Zachary Quinto saying, "Spock to Enterprise, get me out of here." And then there was Kirk going, "I'm falling without a chute, rescue me," and it would light up. There's also the new phaser, which is really cool because it has a button which spins it from stun to kill.
Oh, and yeah.
It's really cool, actually. I actually got that sitting on my shelf right now. I thought that was one of the cooler additions that the J.J. Abrams universe did, is redo the phasers to that. I just think that's... I thought it looked stupid at first, then seeing it in action, I'm thinking, okay, that's fucking cool. Other than that, I never took my bridge playset out of the box. It's still sitting, like I said, behind me. But I always just felt the figures weren't to scale properly. I don't know. There's just something about the small Star Trek scale I didn't like. The bigger figures I was okay with, and I had a good chunk of them. I think I had Nero, Old Spock, Kirk, and McCoy for those lines. And I think they only really covered the base characters. I don't know whether they gave a figure to the Orion girl or Captain Pike or anybody.
No,
like
they
that.
Didn't. I think they gave Pike a figure.
Yeah, but I don't remember anybody weird. You know what I mean? Like that weird background character sort of thing. So.
No, they didn't have anybody other than the Core 7, Pike, and Nero.
Which I would say this line, at least from what I saw where I lived up here in Canada, I think the line sold very, very, very poorly. Because these things sat on shelves for months upon months until they were eventually clearanced at a dollar a figure.
Yeah, that pretty much happened around me as well.
Which it's really sad because, like I said, these toys are legitimately cool. Star Trek has some really cool toys. And it's really unfortunate just to see how maybe they tend to go away after a while. Which I don't know why that is. I mean, I guess the collectors now just have a different mentality, or maybe the kids of today just don't necessarily get Trek. And that could be part of the problem, too, is they don't know what to do with them. I mean, I don't see any kids playing Star Trek, but I always see them playing Star Wars. And this was an argument I had with a friend of mine, Justin Eacock, who works with me in the radio industry. Or he works for a different station than me. He works for News Talk 1010 in Toronto. And they brought me on this show, the Jim Graham show, a couple of months ago, and we were talking Star Wars versus Star Trek when Bill Shatner went on the rant against Carrie Fisher, and I was representing, I think I was representing Star Trek, and he said to me, what are kids going to play? And unfortunately, they're going to play Star Wars because there's the Clone Wars series that's out there. And Star Trek has always been, to me, a series for adults.
Well, that and Star Wars has been jammed down kids' throats since 99.
Yeah.
It's just been nonstop since then.
I mean, I don't remember Star Trek ever having a breakfast cereal.
No, and I don't remember them re-releasing original movies just to sell more toys.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks though that kids today will not have necessarily the same respect for Star Trek, though with J.J. Abrams' new movie comes the new possibility of new toys.
Well, in talking about the movie just real quick, not to go off on a tangent, as far as the interest in it, my own wife will watch the Abrams movie, but will not watch anything other than that Star Trek related because she feels like it bores her.
See, that's exactly the same argument I've had with my wife. She doesn't mind the new Star Trek movie, but she won't watch it again. But she saw it, but won't watch anything original. I'm like, you might enjoy First Contact. First Contact's the best movie of the original lot, I think.
Of the TNG lot, of the original
Khan, but
yeah, Khan and Undiscovered Country, I believe, are the best of the other ones.
Yeah, but to me, like, my personal favorite is First Contact, because I'm a Borg slut, but That's a different conversation for a different day. But yeah, so we've covered as many of the toys as we can remember. We'd love to hear your memories of some of these toys. If you've got toys that we've missed, if you want to correct us without being insulting, we have a voicemail line. Call us at 817-717-7202. It's the voicemail line we use for This Week in Geek and The Game Hero, so don't be surprised if you hear my voice, but I don't say Future Imperfect. Just trust me on it. I'd love to hear if you have toys that we haven't talked about or anything really weird. If you got a cool bootleg or if you've made your own.
Send pictures and comments about your collections.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to hear from you. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Send us pictures. Tell us stories. We want to hear about it. And like I said, guys, we still have our Klingon contest going on till February 19th. We want to hear what your Klingon-inspired war cry is. Open to residents of North America only. I will send you a copy of Klingon Monopoly and the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-rays. Like I said, let us know. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed our second episode of Future Imperfect. I think we missed a few things here and there, but me and Steve, we're rediscovering our inner Trek again.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So bear with us. We're not able to say, hey, that guy didn't do that in episode 419 of the second season or whatever. You know what I mean? We're not there yet. But we want to be. We want to be the uber nerd. We want to be the Star Trek guy who knows everything. And with your guys' help, we will. So anyway, guys, for Future Imperfect, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live long and prosper. We'll catch you guys again next time. Right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net, brought to you by Starfleet, the largest Star Trek fan club found at SFI.org.